The following is a lecture entitled Mind, Body and Soul, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 9th, 2015, in London, England.
The whole idea of the self-realization process is to really just know who you are and be who you are, you see. We've grown up in an atmosphere where we've been bewildered by all sorts of illusory conceptions of who we are, you see. Because of this, we unnecessarily face so many anxieties day in and day out. The devotee mentioned here the stress, but actually the stress is not something you have to experience. We are meant to have stressless existences. So when you actually tune in to the higher nature, you become stressless. I'll give you an example, but I don't know if... Do you have hurricanes here in the UK? It's only, no. We have hurricanes in the US, you see. And, you know, this huge, powerful storm comes blowing in off the Gulf of Mexico. I remember one time I saw a movie. They took an airplane and they flew into the hurricane. When you get on the inside, it's completely calm and peaceful. It's a huge, whirling storm that can knock down buildings, is blowing in, but you get in the middle of it, it's completely calm. So self-realization is like that, you see. You're in this destructive storm where everybody's being killed. Did you ever notice that's what's happening right now? Everybody's being killed, you see. Everybody has to die. But that's not the natural position. If it was, nobody would mind death, you see. We don't want to die because actually we do not die. So when you actually center your consciousness, which means self-realization, you actually tune in to your actual true identity beyond the temporary material identities that society has imposed upon us. When you actually get back to your original identity, you become completely anxiety-free, totally blissful. You become full of knowledge. You actually live in a deathless state of immortality. So how do you then tune in your consciousness? How do you focus on being who you actually are? What is the technique? There are many techniques. There's the mystic yoga system. There's sacrificial ceremonies. There's elaborate deity worship mentioned in the Vedas. Kundalini yoga, so many different things. But in this age, these other types of processes are not practical. But in this age, it is stated in the Brihadaranyaka Purana, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatir anyata. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There is no other alternative. There is no other alternative. There is no other alternative in this age of Kali. You may think, uh-oh, this sounds like the Jesus freaks. Jesus is the only way. But it's not that kind of a concept, because this mantra is saying you can chant the name of Christ, you can chant the name of Allah, Jehovah, you can chant Om. Take any name of transcendental significance, you see, and chant any name. You see, not that you have to chant Hare Krishna, you see. We never say you have to chant Hare Krishna. The Vedas teach us chant any sacred name of transcendental, describing the absolute. Any name. There's millions of such names. We chant this particular name because this is, of all these names, which are all powerful, there are hundreds and millions of such powerful sound vibrations. But this particular name, Krishna, is the all-inclusive name that includes all the other names within it. So when you chant Krishna, you're already chanting Jehovah automatically. You're chanting Christ automatically. You're chanting Allah automatically. The name Krishna is which means the all-attractive one. You see? So each name denoting the absolute is a different facet of the all-attractive, unlimitedly faceted absolute. But that name which describes all the facets, that name is Krishna. So that's why we really get off on Krishna. So we'll do a little Hare Krishna chanting. And Hare helps us to approach Krishna. It's a name that helps us, it's the energy of Krishna, or Radha, that helps us to approach Krishna. And Rama is another name for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hope you all came in for a safe landing. After flying there through the spiritual sky. Actually, this mantra is very powerful. This mantra puts you in direct contact with the source of all existence. Now, you can imagine how much energy the sun has, you see, energizing the whole universe. But just imagine that source which energizes all the universes, how much energy is there in that original powerhouse. So that original powerhouse, which is the source of multi-universes, which empowers everything that's happening, going on everywhere, is fully present and manifested in the form of this Hare Krishna mantra. So when you tune into this mantra, you're tuning into the ultimate source of all energies, that supreme person from whom everything is emanating. This is described in a wonderful text written millions of years ago called the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma. He says, Maya Dakshena, no, that's the, let's see, what is it? 541. Text 41. Let's see. Huh? Huh? Brahma Samhita 541. Just not forgetting it. I'm mixing it up with the Gita verse, yeah. The verse is, this English, I remember the English, he is the absolute substantive principle. It's described that way. Maya Yasya Jagadanta Satani. Sing it loudly so everybody can hear. Maya Yasya Jagadanta Satani Shute Tregunyata Satvam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamahamajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, namely sattva, rajas, and tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. So this mantra puts you in direct contact with the absolute substantive principle. So the basic philosophy of existence, if you boil it down to one word, is substance. Some philosophers say that existence is insubstantial. It's not really, there's nothing really there. It's just an imagination. You don't really exist. Of course, you could ask, well, if I don't really exist, who's thinking that he really exists? Is it? So that philosophy of absolute insubstantiality doesn't really cut the mustard, as we say. But so the philosophy of substance is more reasonable, a more scientific understanding of existence. So there is substance to existence. So according to this verse composed millions of years ago by Lord Brahma, there's a person named Krishna or Govinda who is the absolute substantive principle, who's the ultimate entity who's supporting all of existence. So I was talking a few minutes ago about self-realization. So your self doesn't mean in a vacuum. Self means there's also a supreme self. Now, some people argue, well, that's not very democratic. I mean, really not fair for there to be a supreme self. All selves have to be the same, you see. I won't accept a reality where there's a supreme self unless I get to be the supreme self. Some argue like that, you see. But is that realistic? It's like saying, well, I only exist in a world unless I refuse to exist in a world unless everybody's equal. In other words, everybody has to have the same amount of wealth in their bank account. Otherwise, I refuse to exist in such a world. If somebody has more money than me or less money than me, that can't really be true. We have to all have the same amount of money in our bank accounts. So, of course, that's not true. We see every day, you have more money than me, I have more money than you, whatever it may be, you see. Or other things as well, power. Some people are more powerful, some are less powerful. So just by thoughtful analysis of the reality that's around us at every minute, we can see that some people have more power, some people have less power, some people are more beautiful, some people are less beautiful. Some people are more renounced, some people are less renounced. Some people are more wealthy, some people are less wealthy. Some people are more knowledgeable, some people are less knowledgeable. Some people are more famous, some people are less famous. That's the reality. I mean, let's look at the facts. You see. It's true. You're more intelligent than me, or you know, somebody is more wealthy than someone, or whatever. There's all these differentiations. So since it's not equal, but obviously not equal. Somewhere, there has to be somebody who has more power, more beauty, more renunciation, more knowledge, more wealth, and more fame than the others. And it's logical. These are the six basic opulences of existence: power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. So since we don't have an equal amount, somewhere there's somebody who's supreme in having these. And according to a great sage named Parashara Muni, that person's the supreme person, or God, you see. So great sages throughout the ages have analyzed all the great personalities throughout all of existence, and they've concluded that Krishna actually is that person. Now, if you can find someone else, we'll abandon Krishna, no problem. We're not partial to Krishna. We are lovers of truth. If you can show me someone who has more power, more beauty, more renunciation, more knowledge, more wealth and fame than Krishna, I'll give up Krishna. Maybe you're that person, you see. I'll become your devotee, you see. If you can show me you have more power, more beauty, more renunciation, more knowledge, wealth and fame than Krishna, I'll become your devotee. You see. I'll give up Krishna and become your devotee. But so far, I haven't found anyone who surpasses Krishna, so at least for the time being, I'm a devotee of Krishna. And I find that it works really well. Because by studying the teachings of Krishna, it actually confirms those very things I can deduce from common sense. That's the cool thing about Krishna conscious philosophy. It just confirms what you can deduce from your own common sense analysis of what's going on around you. For example, every machine has an operator. It's like this nice little machine here recording the lecture tonight, this Roland Eddie Roll recorder. It requires an operator. I have to turn it on, you see. Or the car I came here tonight requires an operator. So we see that machines require operators. Every machine requires an operator. Can you show me any machine that doesn't require an operator? So I can scientifically, logically, philosophically deduce, therefore, that this gigantic machine, the universal machine, also requires an operator, you see. So the atheist would say, no, there's no person behind the universe. But that doesn't match. If every machine in my experience requires an operator, why the supreme machine wouldn't require an operator? It's just not logical. It's not logical. Another argument, here in Britain you have a famous scientist, Dr. Stephen Hawking. Dr. Hawking, he says everything comes out of nothing. And it's accepted as a great scientific discovery by many people. Oh, he's discovered the highest truth, that everything comes out of nothing. But where is the experiments, Dr. Hawking? Where is the evidence, scientific evidence, to support your theory? That's not scientific, you see. Science means you have to have it means you have to have evidence to support your theory. Newton, he deduced the law of gravity. He had evidence, all those apples falling off the trees, you see. He had tons of evidence, tons of apples falling off the trees. That's all right. And the law of gravity is accepted. It's called Sankarshan in Sanskrit. So there is a law of gravity. But show me one example of getting something out of nothing. Can you do that? Can you produce something out of nothing? Anybody here can do. Can you show me any example of any scientist in any laboratory getting something out of nothing? So there's no example in history of anybody ever getting something out of nothing. How we can deduce that the universe comes out of nothing? It's not science. It's dogma. Even you have a leading scientist considered off the track by the mainstream sciences, Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, another British scientist. And he says that what they call science nowadays is simply dogma. You see? He's actually a Christian scientist. He's being rebuffed by the mainstream, but his arguments are very powerful, and they're actually, we appreciate many of his arguments. To say that everything comes out of nothing, and then that same brand of science also says, you are not a person, you are a robot. You're not really a person, you see. Well, if you tell me I'm a robot, I'm offended, sir. That proves I'm not a robot, you see. If I tell you you're a robot, would you like that? You're just a machine. You're not a person. Would you like that? If you're a robot, you wouldn't mind. You wouldn't mind at all. But the fact is, if I tell you you're just nothing but a machine, you'll become offended by that because you're a person, you see. So if we analyze things clearly, we see that actually you are a person, and there's a person also behind the universe. We can, just by logical, clear thinking, we can deduce your existence and a supreme person's existence. So what's the next step? The next step is to harmonize. That individual self has to live in a state of harmony with the supreme self. That's called self-realization. You see? Actually, self-realization talks about two selves, actually, the individual self and the supreme self. You see? When you can understand the supreme self and the individual self and understand I have to harmonize, the individual self has to learn how to live in a state of harmony with the supreme self. Now you're on the track for self-realization. You see? Now you're on the track. So the way to do that, just like in any science, you see, when you want to learn something, when you learn medical science, you go to medical college. This science, the science of self-realization, happens to be the most highly advanced science in the whole universe. So even for medical science, you have to go to medical college. That would mean, logically, then you require a teacher, someone who is self-realized, who can teach you. I have a self-realized spiritual master here, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and his advanced devotees who assisted him. They trained me 44 years ago in this science. And Prabhupada actually told me, he said, you've been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Jana Swami. Prabhupada confirmed that I was very expertly trained. So I can't take any credit for it, but I can say I was, in spite of my frailties and my weaknesses and my lack of intelligence, etc., I received very, very expert training. That's a fact. So for the last 44 years, I've dedicated my life to passing on this training that I've gotten to as many people as I possibly can. Because I can see a world which is, you all see the same world I'm seeing, it's in the news every day. The world society is breaking down big time very quickly. It's fragmenting. It's moving towards anarchy eventually. One of your British, I don't know if he was Scottish, but that would also be British. Yeats, poet Yeats, maybe you studied in school. He said, he has a poem called Second Coming. He said, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. He predicted a second coming of a personality who would actually save the world in this poem, you see. So from my vision, here's that person, you see. I was actually, back in those days, I was a singer-songwriter. I had about 300 songs. Even shared the stage with the Airplane and the Dead back in the old days. One of those love-ins in Golden Gate Park. And the whole love, my vision of the Love and Peace Movement was we got to try to save the world and bring love and peace to the whole world. You see, that was my vision. So I was trying to write songs that could revolutionize the world, but I didn't have the ability to do that, you see. I could see I didn't have the ability, even within myself, I could see I was lacking. I wasn't self-realized, you see. So I prayed for guidance, and this is what I got. I got a bona fide spiritual master who did indeed have the formula, I could see, to bring any individual who followed this process to the perfection of self-realization, and also could bring about a new era, an amazing era of global peace and prosperity, the like of which we haven't seen on this planet for thousands and thousands of years. So that's why I ended up being a Hare Krishna preacher instead of a singer-songwriter, you see. Because I could see that this is more powerful than what I was doing, you see. Of course, now I'm still writing songs. I got one on on iTunes now called The Peace Formula. You can check it out. It has the highest popularity rating on iTunes right now, The Peace Formula. But we actually do have the peace formula here for individual peace and for global peace. And the beauty of it is this. It's like a candle. When you want to burn away the candle, how do you do that? Quickly, you burn it out, light it on both ends, you see. So the cool thing about this is, if you work, the more you can actually develop inner peace, you become more empowered to bring global peace. And with the proper knowledge and training, the more you endeavor for global peace, the more you develop inner peace. So that works simultaneously. We actually have a prayer we sing every morning in our worship service. Bahir Nasingho Hridaye Nasingha. Which means connecting with the Supreme within and spreading the Supreme without, externally. So self-realization is not a selfish thing. Some people say you're thinking of self-realization, you're being selfish, you should just feed the poor, forget self-realization. But they don't realize it's due to a lack of self-realization on this planet that we have the poverty problem to begin with. In former times, when everyone was self-realized, there was unlimited opulence. There was no poverty at all, you see. So don't think that self-realization is some sort of self-indulgent thing. The more you become self-realized, the more you become empowered to bring about a revolution of consciousness on this planet, which will make this planet an ideal as one, as sometimes said, heaven on earth can be available if the self-realization science is realized and spread all over the world. So that's our mission here in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. We are not a sectarian religion. We appreciate anyone who's awakening their divine consciousness, whether it's through Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, or whatever it may be, you see. We are teaching the science of self-realization, which applies equally to Christians, Hindus, Jews, Muslims, Sikhs, Jains, etc. It's a science. I'm not a, I don't look like a Hindu, do I? No, I'm a Christian kid from the U.S., you see. So this is the perfection of Christianity. You see, sometimes the Christians tell me, why did you convert? Actually, I didn't convert. I became a better Christian. That's all, you see. So the idea is whatever you're into, by taking this scientific science self-realization system given in the Vedas by Krishna, you'll become a perfect Christian, a perfect Jew, a perfect Muslim, a perfect Sikh, a perfect Jain, a perfect humanitarianist, a perfect philosopher, whatever you're into, a perfect scientist, whatever you're into, you take the science of self-realization as taught by Krishna in the Gita, you apply it to what you're into, and you become perfect in that, you see. Whatever you're into, poetry, music, history, drama, television, whatever you're into, bring this self-realization, being a good parent, whatever you're into, you see. Apply Krishna consciousness or the science self-realization taught by Krishna and the Gita to it, and boom, you'll be an amazing dimension of consciousness beyond material existence, and you'll have a revolutionary impact on world history. So we end it in what, 6 or 7 minutes? So questions, show me. All right, good. I'm sorry, I spoke to. I have a big mouth. I talk too much sometimes. Okay. We are doing decisions every day and getting the consequences. Sometimes everything goes right, sometimes wrong. We are doing decisions according to our mind, but how do I know what decision God wants us to do, how to understand God? Well, being trained by a spiritual master is very vital, because you can just find out from your spiritual master, should I do this or should I do that? You see. In the beginning, you don't really know exactly what pleases Krishna or pleases God, so you have a spiritual master who trains you. That's why Krishna says you should have a spiritual master. Tadvidi pranita paripatvena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam gananas tadvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. If you'll take a spiritual master very seriously, and the spiritual master will also engage other devotees to help him train you, you see. So if you will take advantage of a spiritual master, you see. Agni? Yes. Take advantage of a spiritual master. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And then that way you'll learn. In the beginning, you'll have to be told, do this, don't do that. But finally, you'll figure it out on your own. If you're getting trained well enough, you'll understand the principles behind it. In the beginning, you have to be told, stop that. Just like one devotee, the first time he went to hear Prabhupada, he was going like this. Nervous habit, you know, sitting there like this. Prabhupada said, the first instruction he got from Prabhupada was, stop that. First order you got from Prabhupada, stop. He's one of his famous sannyasi, you know, Lokanath Swami. He was going like this, sitting in front of Prabhupada, bouncing his knee. So Prabhupada said, stop it. So, you know, he learns his first lesson, don't bounce your knee like this. No reason to bounce your knee, you know. So in the beginning, you don't know anything. You see, the spiritual master says, do this, don't do that, do this. And gradually, you know, you say, okay, I finally get it. I finally get it. Understand what sort of groove, psychological, philosophical, spiritual, intellectual groove I need to be in so everything happens perfectly. It takes time to come to that stage. You take a shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. You get initiated by him. You follow his instructions. And in this way, you gradually get connected with the supreme person called the super soul within your heart, and then you can do everything perfectly. But in the beginning, you need the external manifestation of the Supreme Lord within your house, within yourself, who is the spiritual master, who can show you what to do and what not to do. Okay, how can I understand I'm not this body? This is very easy. Okay, we'll do a little experiment here. Okay, everybody, point to your nose. Point to your right ear. Point to your left knee. Point to yourself. Everybody's pointing here. Why? Actually, intuitively, you're right. The actual self is seated in the heart. It's called the Atma. You intuitively, you know that you're right here. You didn't point here. Everyone pointed here. I didn't see anybody pointing here. I saw everybody pointing here automatically. Because intuitively, we all know that actually I am right here, you see. In the Vedas, we learn the Atma is situated within the physical heart of the body. It's the Atma which empowers the heart to beat. Your actual spiritual self is very powerful. It energizes the heart to beat the whole life. Beat, beat. So much work that heart is doing, energized by the Atma sitting within it, you see. So that's the first thing. First thing, understand where you're situated, how to understand you're not this body. Krishna says in Gita, Dehi nosmin yata dehe komarang jovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dirastratanam vyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such a change. So, where are the atoms and molecules that made up your baby's body? They're long gone, but you're still here. How is it you can remember? I still remember when I was a little kid. This was back in about 48 or 49, when television was a whole new thing. The American people were the first ones to get it. And I remember we had a little black and white TV, little maybe this big. And I was in my baby crib. And I was looking through the bars of the TV. I still remember looking through the bars of the TV, you see. But where is that baby's body? A little baby was in the crib. Where are the atoms and molecules that made up that body? They're long gone, you see. But I still remember being a baby in the crib looking at the television. And just an example is here you have the Thames River. You're very famous for the River Thames. Now, what's a river that feeds into the Thames? Anyone know a name of a river that feeds into the Thames? You don't know your British geography? I have to give an American example of them. Okay, we got the Mississippi's famous river, humongous river. The Ohio River and the Missouri rivers feed into the Mississippi. Now, if I go down to the Mississippi River, I take out some molecules. What molecule is this? Mississippi water or is it Ohio River water? Those molecules, how are they designated? Is that Ohio? Is it Missouri? You see? Next week, it'll be in the Gulf of Mexico. So what is the identity of those molecules? Is it Ohio River? Is it Mississippi River? Is it Missouri River? Is it the Gulf of Mexico? Those molecules are identified simply according to where they happen to be at that moment. You see? So those molecules that make up your body, they're different than what they were yesterday. In fact, right now, we're switching molecules with each other. So I'm inhaling, you're exhaling. We are switching molecules with each other right now. Some of what you thought was you, I go home tonight thinking it's part of, I think it's me. Because we're switching molecules by breathing in the same room. So the point is that body is not you, you see. But because it's clustered, those chemicals and molecules are presently clustered around the Atma in the heart. Just like that, those molecules are situated in the Mississippi River bed. Therefore, we call it Mississippi. You call it you because these atoms and molecules are clustered around your Atma right now. That's all. And next week, there'll be a quite different set of molecules clustered around the Atma. And then you'll call that you also. Just like every day, we said Mississippi River, but it was Ohio yesterday. You get the point? Okay. It's a simple thing to understand. Even a child can understand these things, but the big scientists cannot. They're too sophisticated. How do I serve Krishna? Oh. What am I at work with other people? When I work, thing is, if you realize who you are and you have a good program of Krishna conscious meditation every day, then you will go to your work and your job and you'll use the results of that work, which is money, in the service of Krishna. On one hand, to create a wonderful atmosphere in your own home. Take your income that you get from your job and use it to create a wonderful atmosphere in your home. Just like when I started doing this in 68, I was selling men's handkerchiefs at a department store, you see. And I would take that money and I created an atmosphere in my apartment. I made an altar, I put Krishna there. And I would come home from work, and it was beautiful. I would light a candle, light some incense, and I would chant Hare Krishna. I would go into ecstasy like a magic carpet ride when I come home from work every day. So take the result of your work and use it to create a spiritual atmosphere in your home. And whatever extra, give it to us. Help us take over the world, you see. We're on a mission to take over the world as soon as possible because nobody else knows how to manage the world. Not militarily, but I'm talking educationally. Our mission is by education is to take over the world as soon as possible because these leaders do not have it together. They do not have it together. How to stop terrorism, how to stop poverty, how to stop disease. All these things are running rampant because the leaders don't know what in the world they are doing. They don't know because they're not self-realized, you see. We need self-realized leaders on this planet right now. And we want you to become those leaders. That's why we're helping. That's why I'm here to teach you. I want you all to become the leaders of the world, you see. Become self-realized and share this knowledge with everyone. We have to create a revolution on this planet. I know I'm a little over time, but let me do one more. No more. This is it. And for further questions, you can please send me an email. SDA, I'm Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Those initials are SDA, at back. To home, BACKTOHOME.com. Do you have it written down on a piece of paper to hand out? Okay, good. All right. Whoop. Warning light there. I'm having difficulty letting go of a comfort which destroys me. A comfort? Karmically, what should I do? Is that a comfort? It looks like it. Anyway, if you have a bad habit or something that you know it's bad for you and you're having difficulty giving it up, a very simple formula to get rid of it is you have to simply increase your Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness or self-realization consciousness, if you think that's something sectarian, the self-realization consciousness is a higher taste than anything of this world. So the more you go within by chanting the holy names of the Supreme Person, according to your own tradition, Krishna or Christ or Jehovah or Allah, Buddha, Om, whatever name of the Absolute inspires you the most, you get up early in the morning and you chant that in the early morning hours, go into a state of divine consciousness, you see, before you begin your normal day. That will give you a higher taste, whatever your bad habit was. For some people, they say it's liquor or cigarettes. Some people say it's masturbation. You know, I get all these letters from people about the problems they're having. But if you just tune into a higher consciousness within, and those other things, they fade away. You're no longer attracted to them because you've found a higher taste. The trick is tune in to the higher taste of chanting the names of the Supreme in the early morning hours. And all those other things will just go away because they're no longer attractive, you see. That which bewildered you, which you couldn't give up, by going deeper into the name of the Supreme, those things will automatically fade away. No longer attractive. Previously, I was so attracted to this or that, but now it doesn't even bother me at all, you see. That's what will happen if you go every day, you meditate in the holy names, in the early morning hours. Okay, our time is up, and I'm supposed to give a lecture downstairs, and I think your program continues now. So I'm just delighted to be with you all here tonight. It's just one of the highlights of my year when I get to come here to be with the Body, Mind, and Soul group. I'm really inspired by you all, so please continue in this way. Make your lives perfect and make the whole world perfect as soon as possible, okay? Jai. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.